There's the piano man, Mr. Billy Joel, on your radio, friend.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
This is Glenn Klein on WRJN, and it is time for our initial Law Hour with Attorney John Cabranes. Good morning, or good morning. Good afternoon, Attorney Cabranes.
Good afternoon, Glenn.
How are you?
I am living la vida loca, as they say.
And we are happy to report that we have a full studio with the two of your attorneys. Would you like to introduce them to our radio audience?
I would. To my immediate right is Attorney Jordan Schrader. Farther along to the right is Attorney Shanaz Lakdawala.
How are you, ladies?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You've got to get a little bit more friendly with the microphones there on your radio, friend. So, Shanaz, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from, and where'd you study law, and what do you like to do?
Well, I'm from New York, born and raised. I went to law school in New York, and when I moved out here, I'd take the bar, and now I'm admitted practicing law in Wisconsin.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What law school did you go to?
I went to New York Law School.
That's a tough one, wasn't it?
Law school in general, I think, is tough.
What was tougher, law school or taking the bar?
Taking the bar, I think. I remember being up late nights, but then again, I was up late nights studying for finals as well.
So had you ever been to Wisconsin before you moved here?
Yes, I was here to visit my boyfriend at the time, now husband. So, yep, I was here a few times before I moved out here.
What's his name?
His name is Moise Dawoodbai.
Very cool. What is that?
It's Indian, South Asian.
Very nice. Yeah. And Jordan, where did you study law?
I went to Marquette University.
Golden Eagles.
Absolutely.
And where are you from originally?
I grew up in Illinois. I'm actually from Nebraska, so I'm a Cornhusker.
A Cornhusker? Where'd you go to undergrad?
I went to UW-Milwaukee.
So how did you end up from Nebraska to Illinois to Wisconsin?
Nebraska to Illinois, my dad's job. Wisconsin, just happened to end up here.
What did your dad do?
He works at CNH Capital, so here in Racine.
And where'd you grow up in Illinois?
Peoria.
Peoria.
Yeah, it's actually a little small town called Dunlap. Probably no one has heard of it, but it's next to Peoria.
Got to get a little bit closer to the microphone still. There you go. So how did you find these young women to practice law with you, Attorney Cabranes?
I begged them to come and join me. I had a need. I've been in business for 20 years. In the last 5 years, I've had some pretty explosive growth in the practice, and I needed some help. And so I was fortunate enough. I've been fortunate enough to find some really quality people who've come in to help me over the last 5 years, and who've just gone on to bigger and better things. I'm hoping that that Shanaz and Jordan and Claire, who's not with us today, I think that they're excellent attorneys, and I see a bright future for them, and I hope that they'll stick around for a little while and give me the help that I so desperately need.
This is the Cabranes Law Hour. You've got to tune to WRJN. We are taking your calls for the attorneys. We are live right now on the radio, a little after 1:17. So give us a call at 634-WRJN. That's 634-9756. If you've got a question in your practice, Attorney Cabranes is so varied, you can speak to almost any legal need.
Well, not almost any legal need. I mean, we don't do like trusts. We don't do personal injury work, workman's comp, things like that. That's not something that that I'm well versed in. We have people, and I can certainly, if there's an interest in that, I can certainly bring some other attorneys in who can handle those kind of questions for you. Or if you call the office, We can certainly refer you to them so that you can talk to the attorneys and get a firsthand information from somebody who does that kind of work. But, you know, I do immigration, I do criminal defense, I do family law, I do small claims matters, you know, restraining orders, those kind of things. We do a pretty bang up job, if I do say so myself, on those kind of things.
What is the most challenging aspect of the law?
Well, it depends on what you're dealing with. I mean, criminal law has the most challenging part is the erosion of your constitutional protections. I mean, just this week, we had a decision from the U.S. Supreme Court, which further eroded your Fourth Amendment protections. Now, for example, a police officer who stops you without any legitimate reason can any evidence that they find on you would be admissible now if you had something as simple as a warrant for a citation or a commitment, child support commitment, or something like that. If there's some reason that he can then arrest you on the back end of that, anything that he would be able to uncover through an illegal stop would be admissible. You know, that's not the way that the Fourth Amendment, I think the framers of the Constitution pictured the Fourth Amendment working. But, you know, every time you turn around and you see a Fourth Amendment decision, it gives more and more latitude to the government and less protection to the individual. So that, you know, from a criminal standpoint, the erosion of your constitutional protections is certainly a challenge.
We're taking your calls for Attorney Cabranes, as well as Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader, right here on the Cabranes Law Hour on WRJM. The number to call, 634-WRJM. That's 634-9756. What was the specific ruling of the Supreme Court that affected Fourth Amendment rights?
Well, the ruling, like I indicated, the ruling was that the case dealt with an individual who had been stopped, and there had been no reasonable suspicion to stop this individual. He was just stopped because the officer felt like stopping him. And in the process of dealing with this individual, the officer uncovered evidence of a crime. Essentially, that in the past would have been enough to have gotten the case thrown out because there was no basis for making that initial contact. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court essentially ruled that since that individual had a warrant on I believe a ticket, the seizure of the original seizure and the original evidence that was obtained illegally would be allowed to be admitted into evidence, which is a substantial departure from previous rulings of the Supreme Court.
You've got to tune to WRJM. We're speaking with attorneys John Cabranes, Jordan Schrader, and Shanaz Lakdawala. You are on the air with the attorneys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Actually, afternoon.
Oh, you're right. Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I do have a question. I don't know if you can answer it, though. It's more of a business problem. My at the time, husband and I went into a business with somebody, which I didn't want to do, but I went along with it anyways, and I didn't sign any of the paperwork. I had, you know, basically nothing to do with it, but that all went south, and now we basically lost $100,000, and we're wondering, is there any way to get that back?
Well, the short answer to your question is I don't know. Because a lot of it's going to depend on what type of how the business was set up. Was it set up as a partnership? Was it set up as a limited liability company? was it set up as a sole proprietorship? There are some protections in some of the ways that you set up a business organization, less protections, you know, for example, if you're a sole proprietorship, you're essentially, you know, hanging out there in the wind. You know, a lot of it's going to be what happened to that $100,000. Is it just losses that the business just didn't do well, and the business lost that money? Was there some level of fraud, maybe, that the partner pocketed some of that money that they shouldn't have pocketed? I mean, so a lot of it's going to depend on the specific facts. You know, the harsh reality is that when you go into business, all businesses are a risk. You may make a lot of money, or you may take a bath. What lawyers look at is in those kind of situations is, was everything above board? If everything was above board, then, you know, you lost $100,000. If there was some hanky-panky in there, you know, people doing things that they shouldn't have been doing with the money, spending money on things that maybe were not business-related, then there may be some recourse to going after, you know, the partner and trying to get some money back out of that partner. But it's really, really fact-dependent. So you'd really have to sit down with somebody and talk to that person and find out, you know, and have them ask you the information and get the facts from you. And then once you sit down with that person and give them the information, then the attorney should be able to tell you, okay, this is what I think. And, you know, it may be good news for you, that there may be some remedy. Or it may be bad news for you that there is no remedy. But, you know, the good news is not necessarily good news because, you know, there's a cost to going after that money, too. And so, you know, at some point, you're throwing good money after bad. So that's something that you have to take into consideration as well. But, you know, we're always happy to talk to folks. All you have to do is call the office, 262-638-0529. 262-638-0529. Consultations are always free. We'll give you a half hour free. We'll sit down. We'll talk to you. We'll figure out what's going on in your situation. And then if we can help you, we'll tell you we can help you. And if we can't help you, we'll be straight with you and we'll tell you that we can't help you. This is not a firm. My firm is not a firm where we'll tell you one thing just to get your money. We'll be up front with you. If we can help you, we'll try to do the best we can. If we can't help you, we'll tell you right up front.
Okay. And what was that number again? 639?
No, 638-0529. Operators are standing by.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for
calling.
You're
welcome. You have a good day.
He is attorney John Cabranes. We also have attorney Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader here from the Cabranes Law Firm. We're taking your calls this afternoon on 634-WRJN. Give us a call. Questions for the attorneys from the Cabranes Law Firm during the Cabranes Law Hour here on WRJN. That number again, 634-9756. Attorney Cabranes, where do you hail from originally?
Well, I was born in New York City, but I was raised in Puerto Rico. I moved back to New York City when I was about 10 years old, spent a couple of years in New York City, then lived in South America, in Colombia for a couple of years.
You did?
I did. And then lived in Florida for a year, and then moved out to California, where I spent 18 years of my life out in California before I came to Wisconsin.
All right, so you go from, let me follow this, New York, Puerto Rico, Florida or no. California,
New York
or Colombia,
New York,
yeah,
Puerto Rico,
yeah,
New York, South America, Colombia, Florida, California, Wisconsin.
All right, here's the million-dollar question: why Wisconsin?
Well, actually, you know, I'll tell you, that's a question a lot of people asked me when I first got here. They looked at me like I was crazy that I was coming to Wisconsin from California, and why. You know, honestly, people who live in Wisconsin don't really understand the beauty of the state. and don't understand, you know, how different it is in terms of living on the coasts. In California, you don't know your neighbors. It's a very mobile situation. And honestly, after 18 years, I was sick of it. I had worked in radio for a few years. I made some decent money working in radio, but I wanted something different. And so I come from a family where, you know, we have some lawyers in the family, and they were pushing me in the direction of law school. And honestly, it didn't take that much of a push. And I decided to start applying to law schools. And at the time, Wisconsin accepted me. They were the number 15 law school in the country. And I came out and I looked at the campus and, you know, what's not to like about the campus and at UW? I mean,
UW-Madison?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We have a lot in common. I graduated from UW-Madison. I moved here after 21 years in Florida. Where in Florida were you?
Hialeah,
I was in Tampa.
Okay.
My son-in-law, Angel, is Puerto Rican. My kids and my parents live in California, but I've never been to Columbia.
Really? Columbia was an interesting experience. That was before the sort of the guano hit the rotary impeller.
It's one way of saying it.
And the drug situation took off. That was well before that. It was actually a very interesting situation, a real eye opener too, because you know people talk about poor people in this country. Until you've traveled overseas and seen poor people without the safety net that we have in this country, you truly don't understand. You don't understand, you know, when you see people living out of boxes, cardboard boxes, wearing pants that are 3-4 sizes too big only because that's what they could afford. It's a real eye opener, and I am not one of these squishy liberals by any means, but you know,
there's anything wrong with a squishy liberal.
Not that there's anything wrong with a squishy liberal. I mean, you know, some of my best friends are squishy liberals, and some of my employees are squishy liberals, but the fact is that when you see this kind of thing, it sort of gives you some sense for what people who are less fortunate than you are going through. And I think that it increases, and at least in my case, I think it increases the empathy, because you understand that these people have nothing, and they come to you when they come to you and ask them you to help them out of some legal issue that they're having. They're coming to you and they're giving you money that, quite frankly, they may be taking out of some other necessary portion of their life. And so it's a tremendous responsibility when these people come to you. And you learn that from seeing those kind of living situation in some of these countries.
He is Attorney John Cabranes. This is the Cabranes Law Hour on WRGN. We also have Attorney Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader in the studio. We are taking your calls at 634-WRJN. That's 634-9756. And we will be back with your calls for the attorneys after we hear from the great Tom Carco in the WRJN News Block coming next.
Every day is a great day to visit O&H Danish Bakery. And if you haven't enjoyed O&H's rhubarb kringle, you
really want to shed pounds? Start moving the rest of your body. Next, will eating after 8 p.m. make you gain weight? Not really. The most important thing that affects your weight is how many calories you consume versus how many you burn throughout the day. When you eat those calories, has no effect. One more diet question. Can foods like cabbage soup and grapefruit help you flush fat? No. There is no science proving any particular food can burn, melt, or flush away any fat. I'm John Tesh with today's Intelligence for Your Life Minute.
Thank you, Mr. Tesh. You can hear much more of John Tesh. In fact, his entire program coming up later on this evening at 6 o'clock. Following the Sweet Lou Turner quality broadcast, he'll get you ready for that annoying weekend starting at 2 o'clock right here on WRJN. We now return to the Cabranes Law Hour, and this program is brought to you by Cabranes Law Offices, LLC. No attorney-client relationship is being created. This show is intended to provide legal information and not legal advice. The attorneys have neither the time or the information during the show to fully review your particular legal issue. Be aware that in some cases, Time limits may apply in the prosecution of your case, and you should seek legal assistance as soon as possible. Cabrera's Law Offices, LLC, makes no representation that the information provided today has specific application to your particular legal issue. Now, please welcome back to your radio friend, Attorney John Cabrera, Attorneys Jordan Schrader and Shanaz Lakdawala. Did you guys get all informed during the break?
We did. When I found out that I could chew sugarless gum for a month and lose a pound.
So what is the most lucrative part of your business, where people are coming to you and they absolutely are desperate for legal advice, and that's something that they're willing to pay for?
Well, it varies. The big segment of our practice right now is immigration. People are understandably very scared about what's going on, and those who can adjust their status are trying to do so as quickly as humanly possible. So in a lot of cases they come in and they ask, is there something that can be done? Sometimes there is something that can be done. Sometimes you got to tell them, no, I'm sorry, but you're kind of stuck. Unfortunately, immigration is one of those areas where there isn't always an answer that you're going to appreciate. But that's why we do the free initial consultations, because we come in, we sit down with people, have them explain to you what their particular situation is, and then you can sort of get a sense for if you can help them or not. And like I said before, we don't charge you with an eye towards just taking money from you and not having some type of chance at having a successful outcome. If we think that we have an opportunity to have a successful outcome, well, sure, we'll charge you. But otherwise, if it's a case that's kind of a loser case and we don't think that you're going to have a good result, we're going to let you know up front, and we're going to give you whatever advice we're going to give you. If you want to pursue it anyway, then of course we'll help you pursue it. It's one of those things where we're trying to do what we can for you and not essentially grab you by the ankles and shake every dime out of you.
Right. Well, obviously, you guys are in business and practice to make a living. I mean, that's the good old American way. But how unusual is it for a law practice, whether it be a local practice or a huge national firm, to really put their clients' best interest versus looking for a way to make money off of them?
Well, honestly, that's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way the rules of ethics are set up. You will find from time to time some attorneys, and I'm not going to mention names, but there are some attorneys, especially in the Kenosha area, that they put their bill ahead of their client's interest. And I was just talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about one of these attorneys, and we were discussing how this particular individual has the ability to turn a very simple, straightforward $2,000-$3,000 divorce into a $50,000 divorce. And they do that by just being obstinate and taking positions that, quite frankly, have no realistic opportunity of being successful. What they do is they create chaos in the case. And the more chaos is created, the more you have to go to court, the more you have to write motions. At $250, $300 an hour that these people charge, it starts to add up, and it starts to add up really quick. We don't do that at our firm. In a lot of cases, we try to quote a flat fee, and we'll tell you, this is what we're going to charge you. And we don't charge you a dime more. There have been cases where, people have come to me, and I've charged them a flat fee, and sort of the bottom has dropped out of that case, and suddenly we're litigating that case for 2 years, and I could have made more money working at McDonald's. You make a commitment with somebody, you say, this is what it's going to be, and my word is my bond. So if I tell you this is what I'm going to charge you, this is what I'm going to charge you. And it's not a question of, oh, well, circumstances have changed. No, well, you know, I should have taken that into consideration when I quoted you a fee.
He is attorney John Cabranes. This is the Cabranes Law Hour on WRGN. We also have attorneys Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader from the Cabranes Law Office. Shanaz, when you were looking for a firm to work for, how important was that kind of attitude for you?
Oh, it was extremely important because, you know, I went to law school because I wanted to help people too. Help people, you know, get the outcome they want or they can get and abiding by the laws and stuff like that. I also saw that when he had his ad up, he wanted a Spanish speaker. I didn't speak Spanish, but I thought, let me go ahead and apply. I do have other languages under my belt. I speak Hindi, Gujarati, and I can understand and speak some Punjabi as well. So I went out and applied for the position and got an interview.
Are those all Indian dialects?
Yes, they're all dialects from South Asia.
So you speak English and those three dialects?
Yes.
All right, I want you to say your radio friend in all three dialects right now.
Okay, in Hindi it would be, I don't know the word for radio, it'd be your radio dost, tumara radio dost.
Nice.
And in Gujarati it'd be like, it would be tamaru radio dost. In Punjabi, I'm not sure how to say it in Punjabi actually.
All right, well, it was good effort. Yeah. All right, so Jordan, in Nebraskan, how do you say your radio friend?
Your radio friend.
Well, I think, you know, you're talking about immigration. Obviously, a lot of the people that are, not all, but a lot of the people that are interested in immigrating to this country and to evolve their legal status here are Latino.
Right.
And so you have Spanish-speaking attorneys at your law office as well.
I do. I not only do I have Spanish-speaking attorneys, I have myself, obviously. I have Claire Longdon, who is not here with us today. But I also have most of our staff is bilingual. So, you know, we're able to accommodate people who don't speak English or who speak Spanish, primarily Spanish. We're able to accommodate those folks. And obviously, you know, we're once we have people who speak Hindi and Gujarati, did I say that properly?
You said that right.
Okay, because I can never say that. I have butchered that since the day I met Shanaz.
You just have to get around me because I am great at pronouncing things. Exactly the opposite, actually.
Yeah, that's the way I am. If I can possibly butcher a pronunciation, I will. And you know, the funny thing is that, you know, my name is not the easiest name in the world to pronounce. So when you look at it, you get different pronunciations, Cabranes, you know, things like that. And so I'm kind of used to having my name butchered. And so I tried really hard not to butcher other people's names, but it doesn't always work out that way.
I try very hard too, but it does not always end up in success.
Yeah.
He is John Cabranes. He is the attorney of Cabranes Law Firm. This is the Cabranes Law Hour on your radio friend. Okay, how do you say your radio friend in Spanish?
Su amigo del radio.
Nice. It sounds so much more exotic than your radio friend. I like your radio friend, but we're taking your calls for the Cabranes Law Team at 634-WRJN, 634-9756. It's 12 minutes, now 11 minutes until 2 o'clock. So if you're listening live, you can ask a question of the attorney, 634-WRJN. That's 634-9756. All right, here's a question I've always wanted to know. Is it true that if you are questioning, if you're in a kind of a gray area and you question somebody and ask them if they are a police officer, do they legally have to tell you they are?
Honestly, the Supreme Court has said that the police can use deception to get information out of people. I have never seen a statute which says that a police officer has to identify themselves as a police officer if you ask them to do so. Now, honestly, you know, if they don't identify themselves as a police officer, there are certain things that you can't be charged with. For example, obstructing a police officer, you have to know that you're actually lying to a police officer or resisting a police officer. And so, unless that police officer is in full uniform, which would kind of give you a clue that he may be a police officer to begin with. You know, they're not going to
I could even figure that out.
Well, you know, you could have one of those police officers who start to strip, you know, the stripper police officers, but...
You've been to better bachelor parties than I have. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, you know, I was a degenerate in a previous life. Yes.
Well, he is not a degenerate now. He is a pillar of our community. 20 years in Racine. John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office is the Cabranes Law Hour on WRJN. We are taking your calls at 634-WRJN. That's 634-9756 for questions for the attorneys on this Friday afternoon. Favorite legal show, Jordan, is what? A show about the law on the TV.
On the TV?
That you love to and look forward to watching.
I love to watch Suits. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I've never seen Suits.
It's a great show. It's about a guy who actually never went to law school because he got in trouble and couldn't, but...
He was a degenerate in the past life, right, too, apparently.
Yeah, but he was a really intelligent person. So he was able to trick his way into getting into a law firm.
One of the top New York City law firms.
What, is that one of your favorite shows, too?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
What is another show that you enjoy, Shanaz?
I love Special Victims Unit, SVU. I think it's on, I think every other day, marathons on USA, I believe. I don't do anything on those days, but just lay on my couch and watch every single episode.
You binge watch.
Binge watch, yep.
Cabranes, attorney at law.
Well, you know, I hate to admit this, but one of my favorite shows was and still is Cops. Because honestly, you know, the level of stupidity that you see on those shows is really just breathtaking. You know, thankfully that, although not always, most of my clients are not, you know, don't do some of the stupid things that you see on Cops, but occasionally, you know, you get one of your clients that you can, as when you're reading the police reports, you can just picture him on Cops, and, you know, I mean, cause it seems that when you're watching Cops and the cop says, "Do you mind if I look through your car? Am I going to find anything?" Generally speaking, you know, the guy says, "Yeah, go ahead, go look. You're not going to find anything." And all of a sudden, they pull out the heroin and the marijuana, and you know, and say, and you know it ahead of time because it's just, well, it's Cops.
Do you ever see the show The Practice? Do you ever watch The Practice?
The Practice.
No.
There was a show about a Boston legal firm. Really awesome.
Oh, that was the one with the Calista Flockhart?
Yes.
Yes.
That was a good one. Perry Mason. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Well, LA Law was a goodie.
So many. Why is that, you think?
Well, because people like to see, you know, legal issues are somehow convoluted, and people think that there's some magic to it. And when you actually start seeing these shows, the truth really comes out that there isn't any real magic to it. It's just a question of common sense and hard work. And so people don't want to see common sense and hard work in these legal shows. What they want to see is these brilliant, you know, tactical moves where you get the guy to break down on the stand and admit that he killed the three people. You know, that doesn't always happen. You wish it did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, being a good attorney is like being a plumber. And you just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. And you just grind your way through whatever the issue is. We try cases in our firm. There's a lot of firms that won't try a case. They'll plead the client out because they're afraid of trying a case, or it's too difficult, or whatever. But you know, we try cases, and we've tried homicide cases. We've tried just about any level of criminal case that you want to talk about. We try family law cases. We go in and you know, we we do the restraining orders and we try those. And the bottom line is that you can't be afraid to go into court and you can't be afraid to fight for your client. And, you know, when you see these TV shows, you're seeing lawyers that are going in there and fighting for your client in a spectacular way. The reality is less spectacular, but it's just as important. You just got to keep plugging away at it, and you'll get the results. You may not get the results that you want, but you'll get a better result for your client if you're aggressive and you keep going at it.
You do OWIs, you do family law, you do criminal defense, as you just said, immigration, a big part of your practice. How did the just recent Supreme Court decision on the Dreamers Act affect your practice?
Well, that's not the Dreamers Act. That's DACA, DACA 2 and DAPA. And that's not really going to affect my practice much. It would have affected my practice if they had authorized it. I think that we would have been just basically been snowed under with people. But ultimately, you know, this is not unexpected, in all honesty. You know, the truth of the matter is our immigration system is completely broken. You know, the government, you know, makes noises about, you know, bad illegal immigration. But they turn a blind eye, you know, they turn a blind eye to it because, you know, the reality is if you want to see what a $5 tomato looks like, go start throwing all of these people out of the country. These people do work that, quite frankly, nobody else is willing to do. You know, and I got to tell you, being a field hand, and I worked for 2 days in a field one time, and it was the hardest work I have ever done in my life, and honestly, I never want to ever do that again. And these people do that as a matter of course. And you can't find citizens that are willing to break their backs like these people are willing to break their backs. So the government turns a blind eye to a lot of this stuff. What you need is a permanent solution to this. You want to build the wall, you want to keep people out. Well, that's all fine and good, but what are you going to do with the 11 million people that are here illegally already? Some of those people should be thrown out. Some of those people are troublemakers, and we've got plenty of homegrown troublemakers here that we don't need to import any more troublemakers. But, you know, the vast majority of those 11 million people are very decent, hardworking people. All they want to do is raise their family and have a better life. And there should be some way that we can accommodate these people. Honestly, this deferred action stuff, I can live without it because I think it's a scam. It's a scam. It's the government's way of creating fear in the community that you vote a certain way, or your people, people who can vote, vote a certain way. Otherwise, mom and dad are going to get deported. They're going to lose whatever rights they have through this legislation, and they get kicked out of the country. What you really need is a comprehensive immigration reform. And, you know, nobody seems to want to do it. Democrats talk about it as if the Republicans are the ones creating a standstill, but they forget that in 2009 and 2010, where you had a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president, they didn't get immigration. They didn't do anything in immigration reform. Now, the Republicans haven't covered themselves with glory on that issue either. So sooner or later, somebody's got to address these 11 million people. And honestly, I don't see trains loaded with people heading south to the border to be laid out. That's a visual that we may have seen in Nazi Germany. I don't think we're ever going to see that here because I don't think people are going to stand for that.
Cabranes 2020, what do you think?
Well,
presidential candidate, 4 years' time?
He was planning on
You want to announce your candidacy right now?
There was a time as full disclosure, I have been a Republican for all of my adult life. This will be the first time in my adult life that I cannot vote Republican. I'm voting Libertarian this time
around.
Me
too. Gary Johnson.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, I'm more in line with him. I think the Republican Party has left me behind, and I think the Republican Party has left a lot of people behind. And honestly, and this is not a political show. We're not going to get into a lot of political conversation. I think we're running out of time anyway. Things have got to change in this country. And I don't know that Democrats or Republicans really want to change anything in this country. So there's going to have to be a third choice somewhere along the line. Maybe Libertarian is where it is, and maybe something different is going to have to happen down the line.
Well, the two guys that are running for the Libertarians, Gary Johnson, former Republican governor of New Mexico, and William Weld, the former Republican governor of Massachusetts. So, yeah, I'm all about it. Well, ladies, I told you it wasn't going to be boring. They are Shahnaz Lakdawalla, Jordan Schrader, and John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office. Their number to call is 262-638-0529. We're going to do this every Friday at 1 o'clock. This was awesome. Thanks, you guys, for coming in.
Well, thanks you for having us.
This has been a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Get your questions ready and tune in again next Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock for your chance to call in right here on your radio friend WRJN.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee. A Magnum.media station.
It's the Sweet Lou Turner Show coming up after WRJN covers the world.
Special report, Britain exits. President Obama has been in touch with Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron, who will leave office in 3 months over the vote for Britain to leave the European Union.
We agreed that our economic